Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Let me ask you a question. Who here thinks that there's a difference between happiness and joy? Put your hand up. I'll give those that need time to process to think about that. This requires participation. So who here, now that you've had time to think about it, who here thinks that there's a difference between happiness and joy? Put your hand up if you do. Okay, cool. All right, now I don't want to enter into an intellectual debate about what definition fits which category, because for some people in the room, the definitions that I'm about to give might actually kind of, you might interchange them. That's okay, but I want to actually just come from an angle of how the Bible would represent what maybe happiness would be, but more so, and I believe importantly, is what joy is. And right from the very beginning when Stu got up and did a great Aussie Ocker kind of presentation of, good work, Stu. And then the kids' video with joy blaring out. I just want to focus on this for a minute because I think there's a profound difference between happiness and joy. I think there is a difference, not just because joy is a little word and happiness is a big word. I think there's more to it than that. And I just want to touch on that for a second. You see, when I started to think about this, happiness is determined by circumstances, the things that happen external to us. That's a stimulus that creates an emotional response in us that we would describe as happiness. So it's from the outside that affects the in. And whether that's a person that comes into our world, whether it's a gift, whether that's something that happens to us, an event. I was fortunate enough to just be in Hawaii and watch the Pipe Masters and being there. I tell you what, that brought a great world of happiness to my life, being a surfer, for obvious reasons. If you don't know, you probably won't get it. But, you know, these, when I'm talking about this external stimulus that creates an internal response, it's like it's something that is also temporary and momentary. I mean, we can seek it, we can pursue it, but some would actually argue that happiness itself is not a choice that we make, but it's an event or things that happen to us that creates the response. So happiness is something that comes from an external stimulus, and it's like a warm breeze that just passes through. Happiness is a response or a reaction to something. Are you with me? Is this making sense? Cool. So happiness can be present for a prolonged period of time, but when an alternate stimulus comes our way, when something comes, hardship, something that's tough, something that's sad happens, it affects us and changes our mood. It changes our emotional response. So we no longer feel happy, but we suddenly feel sad, or we feel isolated, or we feel lonely, or we feel depressed, whatever the case may be. I don't know about you, but I think Christmas in many ways is a great example of what I'm talking about. I know what you were like as a kid, but like, I used to dream of getting certain gifts. I remember dreamt of getting a bike once and dreamt about getting, does anyone remember those ripcord cars that you pull and they would smash up derby and you'd kind of like do it with your brother or a sibling or a friend and they'd smash and then the parts would come flying off and you could put them back on and do it again. Does anyone remember those? Anyone over the age of 40 knows what I'm talking about? What about Meccano sets? Does anyone know what a Meccano set is? Yeah, now you're showing your age. Yeah, good. Or should I say Lego? If you know, there was just stuff that you would kind of like have that idea that, oh, if I got that, I'd just be so happy. I'd be stoked if I got that gift. And then you would try to stay up all night because I was going to be the first kid that caught Santa. I was going to be on the news. I was going to have Santa in a rear naked choker hold and he'd be trying to tap out and I'd be holding on for dear life. And I was the one that was going to catch Santa. Never did, fell asleep. Woke up the next morning, but there was this, maybe if it was a good year, I'd end up with that gift that I was dreaming to get and I'd rip it open and there would be these kind of ripcord cars that we would smash and play with my brothers and that day playing with them all day, so excited, so happy, that night sleep with them, of course, next day same thing again and, you know, then after about a week or two, it's like, you know, just where's that car thing? Didn't even enter my mind because I'd already moved on to the next thing that I wanted as a kid. And that's what I guess is probably a great example of what happiness is. It's a momentary thing that comes into our life. But I want to just touch on joy for a second. Because I think joy is so much more significant. And it's something that is so incredibly amazing that's on offer to us here this morning. You see, joy by definition, again, coming from a biblical perspective, is an underlying truth regardless of whether it's good or bad circumstances that we find ourselves in. Joy is an attitude of the heart and spirit. It's something that's present within inside of us. So happiness is our response or reaction to something, whereas joy is something that exists within us. Somebody once wrote this, that joy is in the heart, whereas happiness is something we see on the face. You see, it's like joy is something, it's like a reservoir, this dam that's just resident within inside of us, and it can actually share the space with other emotions and other experiences that come our way. So even when sadness or darkness or difficulty in life comes our way, joy can actually share the space with it. And that sadness and darkness doesn't kick joy out, but joy can coexist to the point that we can actually begin to discover and understand why we're going through that difficulty, that hard time, or why the darkness is there. It helps us to give understanding and meaning to the difficult stuff that we go through. And I love the fact that for me, as I look more about and thought more about joy, it's the ability to experience deep and satisfying peace and contentment no matter what is going on. I don't know how many of us in this room that when things are going well, we're doing well, but when things are going crap, we're doing crap. And because our external environment, the stuff that's going on around us, impacts our internal world so strongly. You see, I love the idea that joy has the power to overcome anything we face if we allow it to. And so therefore, what I'm talking about is that joy actually has the potential and the possibility of bringing hope to our lives. And I think we all need a little bit of hope. As I said, when we go through hardship, joy allows us to understand that that hardship or that challenge we're going through is an opportunity for growth and development. It can actually help us to enlarge our world as opposed to making it smaller. So joy is able to help us endure hardship and trials and making that connection between them and the meaning and purpose that we actually of why we're going through them. I love this about joy. When I thought about this, joy, we understand that our sense of identity, who I am, is not based on what I have, what I do, what I look like, but it's an internal thing that my self-esteem and my self-security are indestructible because it's something that's inside of me, not something that the external environment dictates to me. Anyone, does this make sense? Stay with me, I'm nearly there. You see, joy forces us almost to look beyond ourselves because joy is not selfish, but it's selfless. And we begin to realize that because of the joy that I have, I want others to experience it, and I become a generous person, and I begin to understand that it's better to give than it is to receive. And there's this positive reciprocal kind of thing that happens. The more I give, the more joy that I experience, and it's kind of something that just gets stirred in my life. I believe that joy is a gift received by choice, and it's something that we can choose to experience in an ongoing way. It's not just a one-off experience, not fleeting, but it's in an ongoing way. And as I said, joy is not a superficial external, but it's a deep, it's an inside, deeply personal heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit that involves our inner world, not our outer world. Because I don't know about you, but most of my life is lived internally up here. Most of my life is wrestling through, processing, thinking that stuff that nobody else would ever know about. And most of my life is revolved around that internal world. Happiness is great, and we all need it from time to time, but it's momentary and dependent on external forces. And I think if every single one of us in this room was honest, we'd probably acknowledge and admit that we're all desiring something a little bit more enduring and stable, something that's more consistent in my life, something that deeply satisfies me, not momentarily, and just doesn't require me to move from one thing to the next or look forward to the next thing or want that new gadget or wish I could get that new surfboard. And if I had that new surfboard, I'd be happy. And if I could just sit back on the beach at Pipeline and watch Julian Wilson get slotted for 5 seconds on this amazing left at Pipeline. Some of you have no idea what I've just said, but just trust me, it's amazing, right? Then I'd be actually happy. Or maybe if I just got one more like on that post, or if I got more likes on this post than I did the last one, then I'd be happy. And then there's this pressure that I've got to get more likes the next time, got to get more followers, got to get more shares, and all that sort of stuff. And that's sometimes the trap that we can spend living our lives. So happiness is something that's external to us, dependent upon external factors, whereas joy is something that comes out of a deeper, meaningful, purposeful connection. And I think it's quite amazing that if you read the Bible, I believe that God created us that way. That God created us with this longing for purpose, for meaning, for us to actually experience joy that I'm talking about, which can help lead to peace, can help to lead to hope, and comes out of a heart of love, that all of us are searching for that in some way, shape, or form, that God created us like that. So our desire for those things is not wrong, but where we choose to pursue or look for them for the satisfaction, will determine whether it's just a fleeting breeze that passes through our life or whether it's something that is deeply rooted and seated. Because for me, if something is just fleeting, it means that it's momentary. Whereas to experience the kind of joy that I'm talking about here, it's got to come from an eternal supply, a supply that never runs out. So your desire to be ambitious, your drive, your desire for more in life is not wrong. It's where we channel it and what we do with that. And so God made us that way, that we would hunger and desire for more. And he goes, the best place you can have that set aside is in and through me. Through Jesus, this gift that we're actually celebrating here today. The joy. I think for me, when I was a kid, I remember reading surfing magazines. I'm talking a bit about surfing today, so whatever. It's just a favourite topic of mine, so there you go. But I remember sitting on the beach when we would sneak out and we would sleep on the beach with my mates, and we'd sit there and we'd read Tracks magazine or Waves magazine, and we would read about Pipeline and we'd read about the places that I've just talked about. And I thought to myself, wow, what an incredible dream it would be that I could actually sit on the beach and actually watch this competition. That would be a dream come true if I ever got to do that. And just last week I got to do that, and so it's taken me sort of 37 years to actually get there, but finally got there. And sort of sitting there and just thinking, wow, this dream has come through, a childhood dream has come true. I can't believe I'm sitting here watching a world title get determined, the winner of Pipe get, the Vans Triple World Crown get titled, all determined in this kind of comp that I'm watching. I'm watching these guys surf massive waves and get hammered and get barrels like you wouldn't believe. It was like a dream come true. And then I realized the dreams I had as a kid are different to the dreams that I have now. And I realized that, like Jack Higgins, a guy that actually wrote The Eagle Has Landed, sold millions and millions of copies, and he's a multi-gazillionaire, all that kind of stuff. Somebody said to him in an interview, he said, like, if you could go back and talk to yourself when you were 18, what would you say to yourself? And he sat there for a second and he said, I'd say to myself at 18, when you get to the top, there's nothing there. I mean, how incredibly profound is that? Boris Becker, if any of you are old enough to remember the tennis great Boris Becker, in his story, he would say after winning 2 Wimbledon crowns, he would say, and he had money, he had fame, he was like plastered everywhere. He said, even though I had all of that, I still felt empty. Even though I'd reached the top of my game, world number one, I was still felt empty and void. And sadly, even over this last week or so, we've seen a prominent footballer that kind of like you would appear on, think on the outside, that there's had a whole bunch of stuff going for him that he would still make the choice that he did, which is so incredibly sad. And so for me, even as a kid, when I think about sitting on the beach at Pipeline was my dream now is more about faith, family and friends. Just faith, family and friends. So my dream has changed considerably. And I don't know what you dream for. Maybe you're dreaming for the next thing, but I tell you, when you get that thing, it's just going to be another thing. And when you've got that house, got that car, got that position, got that job, that sort of stuff, and I would celebrate that with you. But that's not going to bring you the joy that I'm speaking about today. Let me finish off by saying this. You see, there's a God who loves us so incredibly much. He designed, he created us to be in relationship with him. But the problem was, is that the world made this connection with God into religion. So God decided to flip that on its head, and he decided to give us relationship in John 15. See, the world had made everything about this connection with this loving, caring God all about law and following the law to the nth degree, and that was still never enough. But God decided to go, you know what, it's not about law, it's about unconditional love. The world was pursuing honor and fame, maybe not too different to us. When Jesus was born, there was this culture of pursuing honor and fame and notoriety, which is not so different to what it is today. God goes, it's not about that. I want to give you true hope. The world was wishing for an eternal future. And God said, I can give you an assurance of your eternal future. The world carved out idols out of stone and wood and worshipped the sun, the moon, the stars, animals, all sorts of different things. So God decided to take it upon himself that, you know what? Don't worship the creation, worship the creator. And so he said that, he told us, even in, we heard it in the video there, that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and she shall bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, people were striving to please God and by doing good deeds and trying to be good people, but could never be good enough. So God said, you know what? You're never going to be good enough to come into a relationship with me. So therefore, I'm going to give you grace and mercy. The world was becoming more and more selfish, so God demonstrated selflessness and gave us the gift of salvation. People tried to create their own way. Some even tried to bribe and pay and earn their way into eternal life. So God decided, you know what, it's not about that. It's not about what you can do. It's not about what you can earn, what you know, what job you have, how much money, how much cars, the house, the cash. God says, I'm going to actually provide the free way, the free gift of salvation to all of humanity. The world was trying many different ways to find peace. So God gave so we could experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it was interesting, the time in which Jesus was born, like today, was heavily into the pursuit of happiness and the pursuit of self, but nothing satisfied. And people started to try more and more weird and bizarre things to try and find this fleeting moment of happiness. And God says, that's not the solution. So he decided to give us a savior that would not just give happiness, but something more deep and significant, which was joy. And as Stu himself said out of Luke chapter 2, and as I wrap this up, the angels who appeared said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. I don't know where your life's at. I don't know what your life is like, but I want to encourage you, and I want you to get you maybe even to think about it this morning, that you don't have to go from one experience of happiness and then lose happiness and then live in this other space. You can actually live minute by minute, day by day, with a joy that is unspeakable, with a joy that will get you through, with a joy that will help you to make sense of the hardship and the pain or the lonely times that you experience in life, and we all do. But you don't have to live from moment to happiness, but you can have a deep seated joy because God said, I bring you good news of great joy. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This morning, everything we need is in that gift, that good news of great joy, Jesus Christ. Be encouraged this morning. You don't need to strive for the next emotional feeling of happiness. But we can actually live our lives on a daily basis, minute by minute, with a deep sense of joy regardless of what we face. It doesn't mean that we're going to be void of challenges or hardship and not going to feel like life is sometimes pressing in on us so intensely, whether that's because of the pressure of success or because of that's just the pressure of just life hitting us so hard. But even in the midst of either one of those, you can still have this sense of joy and peace and hope and confidence and security and stability, knowing that it's going to be okay. And this morning, this offering gift, even though it was given nearly 2,000 years ago, is still on offer today. Because I'm not talking about some guy that lived and did some radical stuff and then died and then that was the end of it and we just kind of read his autobiography. We're talking about Jesus, the guy, the Easter story, who died and then actually rose again. So I'm talking about not just religion or law, I'm talking about relationship. You see, as bizarre and as weird as that sounds, because like I'm not an idiot, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I'm also not an idiot. So I'm actually called to believe in somebody, something that I cannot see. And that's where faith kicks in. Every single one of us has their faith put into. We put our faith, our hope in something or someone. And this morning, I've chosen that's Jesus. And with that has come such a great joy, such a great peace, unconditional love. Certainly a love that I don't deserve. So let me wrap it up by simply saying this. What I've just shared with you this morning, maybe it's just like, oh, you know, come on, mate, get on with it. Let's get the songs done so we can get outside on the jumping castle. I get that. I get it. And I understand there's people like that in this room. And that's totally okay. But maybe one day these words will come back to you. Maybe one day these words will resonate. We just go, hang on, maybe there is a joy. Maybe I'm pursuing happiness when in fact, there's actually a joy and there's a peace and there's a love and there's an acceptance and there's a purpose and meaning and satisfaction in my life that's available to me. And that's a free gift that guy, that talking head up on the stage was talking about, that carol service. And maybe 2019 is something that you've never experienced or explored, the whole faith thing. All I can say is, what have you got to lose? Eternity's a long time to get it wrong. And I would rather be a ripping bloke, very humble. I'd rather try to be a ripping bloke and live my life according to a lifestyle that Jesus would advocate, which causes me to be all the things I'm talking about here this morning and actually kind of live with the assurance of an eternal hope and destiny and future than be unsure about that. But I'm confident this morning because the difference he's made in my life, the difference he's made in so many people's lives in this room, and the difference he's making through this place, it's undeniably truth for us this morning. And so this morning, that gift is available to you. Can I just ask every head to be bowed and every eyes to be closed just for a minute? This is just going to be a personal, private moment. No one's looking around. This morning I've talked about the difference between joy and happiness. Joy comes out of connection. I believe the Bible would tell us when we ask the joy giver to come and be a part of our life, that he offers us an eternal supply. That we no longer have to live life striving, but we can live it in peace and rest and calm and with a sense of direction and purpose. Out of a place of joy, not anxiety, not worry, not stress about tomorrow, but with a hope for tomorrow. If you don't have that in your life, then I've got good news of great joy for you today, and that gift is available to you. I'm not asking you to become a religious person. Jesus came to smash all that stuff. Jesus came to have relationship and to bring us into relationship with a loving, caring God. The greatest Christmas present I could ever offer you is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and the joy that comes with that and all the other things I've talked about. If you would like to receive that free gift today, I'm not asking you to become a part of our church, although I think that's a great thing to do. Being a part of a community, I think, is really important, but I'm not asking that. I'm asking about you to just to make your peace with God this morning. Whoever you are, doesn't matter how old, how young, how many times you've been in church. So this morning, if you want to receive that free gift, it's just simply praying a prayer with me. I'm going to be done in about 2 minutes and then I'm going to hand back to the team. But is there anybody here today, say, Phil, I don't want to live in the pursuit of happiness. I want to live with joy, with peace, with love, purpose, meaning, direction. If that's you this morning, can you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you just quickly. Greatest gift you can ever receive in your life. God bless you, sir. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Is there anybody else here this morning? Just raise your hand so I can see. Yep, God bless you. Thank you. Yep, God bless. Best decision you ever make. None of us are ever good enough. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. Nothing you can do to make him love you less. He just wants you to live with peace and joy, meaning, hope. That's what this whole Christmas thing's about. It's all about Jesus. It's why he came. Last time I'm going to ask, is there anybody else before I pray and close? Just raise your hand so I can see. Thank you. Awesome. Best decision you'll ever make. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm just going to quickly pray, and I just ask everybody here just to pray this prayer with me, especially if you raised your hand. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth these words that we're about to pray and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is capable of doing all of the stuff that I've said here this morning, forgiving you of all your wrongs and bringing you into right relationship with him, then there's going to be a party in heaven and a great celebration in this room. But I'd like everyone just to pray this simple prayer, whether you raised your hand or you didn't. Was going to pray now. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning and I know I've done wrong and I ask you to forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and that you rose again. Forgive me of all my sins. Fill me with your joy, hope, and love and help me to live a life that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.